السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأنس يوما من الأيام: أنت مع من أحببت. صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Messenger of Allah one day said to Anas رضي الله عنه: You are with the one whom you love. You are with the one whom you love. And I'm going to bring up the hadith on the screen. I don't know if you can you see the screen? Yeah, is the hadith up there? I'm going to go into a little bit about that hadith and a few other ahadith, and also try to today focus not just on listening to a lecture about loving Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today I'm going to try and do a little social experiment with myself, a psycho-spiritual experiment. I'm going to try to love him and try to increase my love for him today. And if you want to, you can participate. Would you like to join me? Inshallah. All right. The first thing we want to do is we want to try and feel love for him in our hearts. So let's take our right hand and put our right hand on our hearts and close our eyes. Imagine we are in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. We are sitting in his majlis, and he, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is at the front, and we are looking at his beautiful face. And I want us to just feel the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine we were there. We have not been given the privilege of seeing him during our life. We are not Sahaba, but we can imagine we can see him. We can imagine we are there with him in his company. Imagine that we are holding his hand. Wouldn't that be so amazing and beautiful? Feel that love for him like golden honey trickling through your heart. Let's take a moment to just feel that. And let's say, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Allah, send your peace and blessings upon our master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. So we'll try and do that several times throughout the session today. But before that, what I'd like to do is follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The way we can best love him is by following his example. And during his life, he always, always, always put the youth at the front. He always put the youth at the front. Even at the end of his life, just before he passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he dispatched an army which had just left the outskirts of Medina, led by a young man. Do you know his name? Usama. A young man called Usama ibn Zayd. A young man was leading a whole army. Can you imagine? That's the example that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ left behind. And so when he passed away, ﷺ, they sent a messenger out to call the army back because they had to re-strategize and think about the consequences that will ensue in the desert and around Arabia. So the army of Usama was called back into Medina. But Usama ibn Zayd, radiallahu anhu, was a young man. And so this is the sunnah of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to put the youth at the front. So we're going to follow his sunnah today. And I have with me, you might look big, mashallah, it's bigger than me, but he's a young man. How old are you?
23.
One of our youth is going to now share his own personal reflection on love for Rasulullah sallam, and how he conducted himself with his companions, in particular a very specific companion who you feel a lot of affinity to. Off you go. Bismillah.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So, I've been asked to, of course, deliver this speech, and one thing that I really wanted to narrate to you guys, a story that I heard once that really touched my heart, and I hope it touches your heart as well. It's a story about Sahaba Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu, and a story in which, of course, we know one of his greatest characteristics was his haya, his modesty, his ability to conduct himself in a manner in which everything he did, all of his behaviors were knowing that Allah is always there, Allah is always watching. He was always had that shyness, he always had that bashfulness. And there was this one particular story narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting, for example, reclining, like say how I'm reclining, for example, and a part of his leg was showing, a part of his leg was uncovered. And the Sahaba, some of the Sahaba closest to him, can we name a few? Abu Bakr, Umar, who else? And Uthman, yeah? So these Sahaba, radiallahu anhu, they were coming in to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questions. Now, first came in Abu Bakr. It came in order, alhamdulillah. So Abu Bakr came first. And Rasulullah stayed in his seat, same position. He asked his question. Abu Bakr asked his question. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered the question. And then he left. And then the same thing again with Umar. Came in, asked his question, and then he left. And the Prophet stayed in the same position. And Aisha was just watching this from afar. And then finally, Uthman comes in. Uthman ibn Affan. And what did the Prophet do? He covered that little bit of his leg. And this to Aisha was, she was perplexed. She was thinking, why only for Uthman did the Prophet adjust himself, make himself a bit more proper, but not for the other two? These are some of the best sahabas. These are the people guaranteed Jannah, right? And Aisha went and asked, of course she would go and ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she asked him, she said, Ya Rasulullah, why did you do that action just for Uthman, but not for anybody else? And the Prophet replied, how can I not be shy of someone who the angels are even shy of? SubhanAllah. And that just that phrase there, how can I not be shy of someone who the angels are shy of, really touched me, because I just thought, how is someone so high in their haya, so able to conduct themselves in a manner where the best of creation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had to change his demeanor, had to change his attitude. But not only him, the angels, the malaika, they were there, and they also had to change their demeanor around him. The angels were shy of him. SubhanAllah. And this just goes to show, like, how the Sahaba were, how amazing they were compared to us. And the reason why I brought this up, this whole reminder, was based on something that I'm just preparing myself for. We're coming towards the end of Ramadan, and of course a lot of us brothers know that there's going to be some sort of Ramadan dip. This brotherhood that we're feeling when we're in the masjid, day in and evening, is something that's rare. It's only in Ramadan we get the opportunity to do it so much. The brothers that are doing itikaf are here for 10 days together, and the brotherhood that's been built is amazing. But what it's also like made us realize is that once we come out, we're not going to have this, not to the same level at least. Inshallah, we are in the masjid as much as possible. So one thing that I want us to remember is, though right now we must be at the highest level of our iman, we must be praying our salah perfectly, making dhikr, dua, and we're all around our brothers, so it's easy. It's like whenever we're around our brothers, we're going to be doing the best. But what are we doing when we're at home, when we're on our own, when no one's watching us but Allah? Are we like Uthman ibn Affan? Are we showing that same amount of haya? Do we have that God consciousness, that taqwa? I hope you brothers benefit from that a little bit, inshallah.
JazakumAllahu khairan.
Bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
JazakumAllahu khairan. Come here, Haya, inshallah. Reminded me of a story of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And of course in Ramadan, and this is for the young men in the audience, the teenagers, the young men who, we live in a society where you just have to step out onto the street, and especially if you're a young man, it's really hard because your eyes have to fall upon things that are haram. You have to look away. You have to constantly look away. I've got three daughters, and they were complaining that it's so hard being a young Muslim woman. You have to wear hijab, you get abuse on the public transport, people call you names. And it's true, our sisters go through a lot of hardship. And I said to them, look, you might think the boys have it easy, but imagine being a boy and having this desire, that this burning desire that Allah has given you, and walking out, especially in the summer, every day, and having your nerve just burnt up every day. You come home tired just from having to lower your gaze. it's tiring. And we've all been young men, we've all been teenagers. And you come home at the end of the day and you're tired. And for that, you need a strong iman, a strong resolve. And there was an incident during the life of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, who was a famous scholar, the founder of the Hanbali Madhab. And as you know, he was tortured by the Khalifa, the Abbasid Khalifa, for disagreeing with the Khalifa's views on a very terse theological issue, which most of us would not be interested in as a theological issue. If any of us die without ever encountering that issue, it will not be a problem. We can still go to Jannah without knowing about the issue. So it's an unfortunate situation in the history of Islam. But the Khalifa got a great scholar like Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and he tortured him. He whipped him in public. And the person who was whipping him was whipping him and whipping him until Imam Ahmad's trousers were coming loose. The belt around his trousers was coming loose, and his trousers were about to fall down. And in that moment, he made a dua to Allah. He said, "Allah, I have never taken my trousers off for anything haram. I have never taken my trousers off for anything haram. فَلَا تَفْضَحْنِي. So please don't expose me." And out of a karama, a miracle, his trousers stayed up even though the belt came off. So this is just a reminder to all of us who are, we're coming into towards the summer now, and the summer months, especially for our youngsters and even for us adults, these are difficult times. We need to constantly guard our eyes and keep them away from haram, because what takes away our knowledge, what takes away our taqwa, what takes away our memorization of the Quran, it's when we are exposed to things that are haram, and when our eyes are not protected from those things. Even if it's inadvertent, you know, the scholars were always guarded to not even inadvertently, not even by mistake, look at something haram. So jazakumullah khairan. That wasn't part of today's presentation, but you inspired me to bring up this story just to remind myself and all of us how important it is to have afaf. You know, we make dua to Allahumma, inna nas'alukal huda wa tuqa wal afafa wal ghina. We ask you for huda, guidance, and tuqa, taqwa, wal-afaf, chastity. Wal-afaf, wal-ghina. And ghina means to have no need for creation. To have no need for creation and be only dependent upon Allah. Somebody once made a joke that maybe someone's praying for four wives called huda and tuqa and afaf and ghina. That's not what the dua is about. If you want it to be, it can be. I do have some friends who have exceeded me in ta'dad al-azwaj. But I always say that there's no point, because if I marry again, I'll lose the first one. So I'll end up with one anyway. And it's quite an expensive endeavor, so I'll end up being a loser. All right. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When I was around 23, that's your age, I was studying in Damascus. I'd just gone out to Damascus to study Sharia. And one day, I was going to the Umayyad Masjid. In the center of Damascus, there's the old Umawi Masjid that used to be a Ma'bad Rumi. It used to be a Roman temple. And if you go inside, you can still see some of the Roman murals of the sort of non-Islamic sort of murals, which the Muslims didn't remove. They kept some of the old features of the architecture. And on the way to this masjid, there is a market called Al-Hamidiyya. The Hamidiyya market is a covered market. So I went into the Hamidiyya market, and you walk through the market, and the other end in the center is the masjid. And just to the right, as soon as you go into the market, there's little alleys on each side. There's a small alleyway. I went into this alleyway because there's a money exchange shop there. So I went to exchange some money. And then just beside that, there was a small musalla, a very small musalla. Maybe 5 or 6 people can pray there. And prayer time came, so I went inside to pray. And then just beside the musalla, there was a grave. So I thought, I wonder whose grave this is. So I went over, and subhanallah, this was the grave of the illustrious Sahabi Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. Imagine stumbling upon his grave by mistake. And so I made several trips out to his grave again. Why? Because I wanted to go there and read a hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu sitting beside his grave. What difference does it make? I could do that at home. In Bangla we call this abeg. You know? That having that, who can translate that for me? Emotion, that feeling. Yeah. That, you know, the thing that wells up inside you. That enthusiasm. Yeah. The zeal. Sometimes you get that by doing an activity, doing an action. You go and do something, you take a trip, you go on a journey, and because of that, you're prepared physically and psychologically. It has this sort of psycho-spiritual impact on you, a cognitive behavioral impact on you. That's why if you look at all of our ibadat, they are spiritual actions, but they're accompanied with physical actions. Have you noticed that? Yeah, all of our ibadat, our salah, our sawm, they are spiritual actions. Fundamentally, the haqiqah of them is spiritual, but there is an outward physical action because we are also physical creatures and we have to physically submit and surrender in addition to spiritually submitting and surrendering. Now, love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I feel like an imposter sitting here today because I don't think I love him enough. I don't think I love him enough. So I was actually quite stressed about coming here today because I feel that I have some deficiency in love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I feel a bit of nifaq, a bit of hypocrisy in my heart about this. And so I'd like to use your help to increase my love for him so I can leave today feeling a bit better about it. So I don't have to feel that imposter syndrome. What better way to increase our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam other than reading his aqwal, his statements, reading a hadith in which he says things to us? And what better a hadith to read in order to increase our love for him than to read a hadith about love for him? So I have got together a couple of a hadith about loving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I've got them up on the screen. Can you see the screen? Is it up there? No? Oh, it's blank. Okay. Let me see if I can... Oh, is it switched off? Can we get the screen switched on so that we can all see the hadith on screen? You know, the Arabs say, لَيْسَ الْخَبَرُ كَالْعِيَانِ لَيْسَ الْخَبَرُ كَالْعِيَانِ. That hearing about something isn't the same as seeing. لَيْسَ الْخَبَرُ كَالْعِيَانِ. So I want you to see it. I want you to put your eyes on the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is it up now? It's up? Okay. So this is a hadith narrated by the illustrious sahabi Anas. Anas spent a long time with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He became the khadim of Rasulullah as a child. Now can you imagine the privilege of that? Can you imagine the privilege of being a child? Yes. Is it full screen? Yeah. Can you imagine the privilege of being a child and living in the household of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, growing up with him and just living, experiencing, breathing the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Can you imagine what that would be like? That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Yes? Inshallah, we'll have that in Jannah. Inshallah, we'll drink from his hands, from al-hawb, from the hawb. What's the name of the hawb? Kawthar, from Kawthar, inshallah. Okay. So, عن أنس رضي الله عنه أن أعرابيا, that a Bedouin, a desert man, came. قال لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, said to the Messenger of Allah, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, متى الساعة? So this man from the desert came and he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when is the hour? When is the day of judgment? Notice, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not answer the question. He said, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَا أَعْدَدْتَ لَهَا. The more important question is, what did you prepare for it? What did you prepare for it? قَالَ حُبَّ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. He said, I have prepared love for Allah and His Messenger. He didn't say, I prepared X, Y, Z. He just said, I have prepared love. Love is something that sits in your heart. It's an internal action. That's all he's prepared. That's all he said. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَنْتَ مَعَ مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. You are with the one whom you love. Which means that when you die, you will be with Allah and you will be with His beloved, His Habib, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muttafaqun alayh, wa hadha lafzu Muslim. So this means this hadith was compiled both in Al-Bukhari and in Muslim. And this lafz, this wording given here on the screen, is the wording of the version in the compilation of Imam Muslim. Wa fi riwayatin laha, sometimes in a hadith, they also at the end say, there is another version, and that has a slightly different wording, and that's a different riwaya. It's called a riwaya. Wa fi riwayatin laha, he said, the Bedouin said, مَا أَعْدَدْتُ لَهَا مِنْ كَثِيرِ صَوْمٍ. He said, I have not prepared a lot of fasting. I'm not the greatest abid. I haven't done a lot. I don't have piles and piles of good deeds. I haven't fasted a lot. وَلَا صَلَاتٍ وَلَا صَدَقَةٍ. Nor do I pray a lot, nor do I give much charity. I don't do a lot in terms of physical actions. وَلَكِنْ أُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. But I love Allah and His Messenger. And Rasulullah said, أَنْتَ مَعَ مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. You are with the one whom you love. And so let's remember that in all of our actions, it's not about the action. It's also not about the quantity of the action. That is not to undermine the quantity. Because sometimes you can infuse yourself with the haqiqah of the action by doing quantity. There is such a thing as a weight test. You know, if you say, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, and we did this the other day, didn't we? Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Let's say it 10 times. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Put your hand on your heart. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. 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 So can you see, doing it 10 times has a difference to doing it once. Why? Because when you do it 10 times, 20 times, 50 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, it has a polishing effect on our hearts. That iteration, the reiteration, again and again and again, it increases our spiritual skill. It improves our ability to connect with our own spirits and connect with the love for Allah and His Messenger. That repetition. That repetition is important. And so quantity should not be undermined, should not be ignored, but we must remember that ultimately, it's not about the quantity, it's about the quality. It's about, actually, did I even say it once with utmost love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So let's remember that. What do we learn from this hadith? That the most important thing in our lives is to love Allah and to love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say that human motivations are a few. There are not many things that motivate a human being. We are motivated by basic emotions. Our basic emotions are fear. So we can sometimes worship Allah out of fear, out of khawf. رأس الحكمة مخافة الله. The highest wisdom is the fear of Allah. Why? Because if we fear Allah, it's our safety net. Out of fear of Allah, we will stay away from sin and we will do our obligations. We will pray. Because I'm afraid that if I don't pray, I will have to answer to Allah and face potential punishment. And so fear is important. It is a safety net. But the scholars say that the highest motivation is love. And the awliya of Allah, the friends of Allah, they worship Allah out of pure love. They don't need that safety net anymore. They can walk up and down that tightrope. And because they love Allah so much, they don't need that safety net anymore. It's still there. It's still there. But the people who are awliya of Allah, the khawas, the elect, the special people, they focus on love of Allah. The love of Allah. There are other motivations in between. Gratitude, shukr. Feeling of, as an act of gratitude, I will worship Allah. This is a high, lofty position. When Rasulullah ﷺ was asked, why do you exert yourself so much, by his wife, Aisha radiallahu anha, why do you exert yourself so much in worship when Allah has forgiven all of your sins, past, present, and future? And he said, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a grateful servant? And so out of gratitude to Allah, we should continue to do our devotions to him. Another hadith of Anas. عن أنس عن أنس بن مالك قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Anas reported that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا يؤمن أحدكم. None of you truly believes. None of you has true iman in your hearts. حتى أكون أحب إليه من ولده ووالده والناس أجمعين. Until I become more beloved to him than his children, his son, his daughter, his parent, his father, his mother, وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ, and all other people, his wife, his relatives, everybody else, and including himself. It's hard to love another person more than oneself because we are all ingrained with self-love, self-preservation. Right? Yeah? We all want to preserve ourselves. We all love ourselves a lot. I remember I went on a car journey once in someone else's car. And the person was sitting at the back and I was sitting beside. And they said to me, do you mind if we swap? And I said, why? And they said, I want to sit on the driver's side at the back seat. Because if there's an accident, the driver will save himself. Listen to this. The driver will save his side. The passenger side will go under the truck, right? The driver will swerve and save himself first. So I want to be behind the driver and be saved. This is called self-love, self-preservation. And because it's their car, I didn't complain. I said, you know, they're doing me a favor by giving me a lift in their car. So I said, fine. So we swapped. But this is true. We all will go for self-preservation. We love ourselves a lot. As parents, we will often find parents, and this is rare, parents will sacrifice themselves for their children. You will find a parent jump in front of a truck to push the child away. This is what your parents will do for you. Your mom, your dad. This is what we will do for our kids, right? Because we love our children so much. But Allah says we must love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than our children. This is amazing. How did the Sahaba behave around him? When he did wudu, they would wrestle and vie with each other, almost fight each other to catch the drops of water that were falling from his hands. Can you imagine that? Just because it touched his skin, they would try to catch that water. There was an occasion in battle where a Sahabi came and he pulled a piece of metal out of the Prophet ﷺ's skin that had lodged in his skin. And he pulled it, and some of Rasulullah ﷺ's blood went into his mouth. And of course, we know it's haram to drink blood. Damun masfuh is not permissible to consume. And Rasulullah said to him, Mujjahu. He said, spit it out. And he refused. He drank it. Can you imagine this? He said, no, I've got your blood. I've got the Rasulullah's blood in my mouth. I'm not letting this one go. Because any part of the Prophet's body is tahir in his view, spiritually. It's going to go to Jannah, right? If I have his blood in me, I will go to Jannah. Can you imagine the emotion? The law here doesn't apply. He's deranged with emotion for Rasulullah. He drank his blood. Can you imagine how much they loved him? Can you imagine? You know, would you drink another person's blood? You wouldn't. You'd think, that's yuck. But for them, this was Rasulullah ﷺ. Amazing. This is how much they loved him. That's how much they loved him. And so when we try to love him, let's remember these stories of how the Sahaba behaved around him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This one is amazing. I first came across this hadith on Hajj. I was on Hajj, and the mutawwi', the sheikh, he mentioned this hadith to me. I hadn't heard it. Maybe I'd heard it, but I'd forgotten. But this hadith is, I find this truly, truly and utterly amazing. عن أبي بن كعب رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله. It should be يا رسول الله. There's a typo here. إني أكثر الصلاة عليك. I do a lot of salawat upon you. I do a lot of salat upon you. فَكَمْ أَجْعَلُ لَكَ مِنْ صَلَاتِ. So how much of my salat or of my devotion should I dedicate to you? You know, how much of it should I spend saying astaghfirullah? How much of it should I spend saying la ilaha illallah? How much of it should I spend reciting the Quran? Doing all of the various other adhkar and acts of devotion. And how much of it should I dedicate to saying Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Let's do it 10 times. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. 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 اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد. So he says, ما شئت, as you wish. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم doesn't give him a prescribed amount. He says, ما شئت. قلت الربع. So he says a quarter. قال ما شئت. Whatever you wish. فإن زدت فهو خير لك. And if you do more, that's better for you. قلت النصف. He said a half. قال ما شئت. As you wish. فإن زدت فهو خير لك. And if you do more, that's better for you. قلت فالثلثين. Two thirds. قال ما شئت. فإن زدت فهو خير لك. But if you do more, that's better for you. قُلْتُ أَجْعَلُ لَكَ صَلَاتِي كُلَّهَا. He said, I will make all of my salat for you. I will spend all of my nafl time doing salawat for you. قَالْ إِذَنْ تُكْفَى هَمَّكْ. Your concerns will be taken away. You will not suffer any concern, any need, any sadness, any depression, any mental health illness. Allah will take this away from you. Wa yughfaru laka dhanbuka. And your sins will be forgiven. Subhanallah. Just saying salat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the scholars say, some of you may be questioning, should I do this or should I balance? The scholars say, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ma shit, he did not make this obligatory. This is not an obligation. This is your choice. Remember that Allah knows the needs in your heart. Allah knows what's in your heart. So if you have a need, and you say to Allah, Allah, you know my need, I'm going to say salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the fulfillment of my need, you don't even have to express your need to Allah because it's already expressed. And you can spend that time doing salat upon Rasulullah sallam. Or if you feel I need to do istighfar, I need to ask Allah for forgiveness, and you say Allah, and with the intention of istighfar, you say Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Your istighfar is done, and your salat on Rasulullah sallam is done, and your needs are fulfilled, and your sins are forgiven. What does he say here? Your sin will be forgiven. You see? Because in the meaning of Rasulullah ﷺ, in the meaning of Rasulullah, meaning the spiritual meaning, his essence, that Allah has made him rahmatun lil alameen. Yeah? Now it says this in the Quran. We have not made you except as a mercy, not to mankind, not to the earth, not to the solar system, not to the universe, but all of the universes. The entire universe, the entire creation. So he is the mercy of Allah expressed in the form of a man to the entire universe. SubhanAllah. Okay. What I'd also like to do is I'd like us to celebrate our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by expressing our love for him through a tradition which we call Shama'il. You know, there is a famous collection of a hadith by Imam Tirmidhi called Shama'il. And Shama'il refers to the adjectives or descriptions of the beauty of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a whole science called Ilmul Shama'il, the science of prophetic characteristics, prophetic akhlaq. And he was described when the Sahaba described him, they said, what does he look like? They said, his beauty is like the full moon. Qamar. Qamarun. And this has found its way into our tradition in a poem which is often recited in tune. So if you don't mind, can we do it together? Can we come closer so we have a nice chorus? Of course, yeah. This is not mine. This is, I was in Egypt a few years ago and I met a reciter of the Quran, a man with a beautiful voice, mashallah. His name was Khidr. And he had won a national competition on TV, Egyptian TV. He came number one for the quality of his voice. Can you imagine that? Egypt is a land full of people with beautiful voices. It's the Biladul Qurra, the land of reciters. And the people there, the people who recite Quran, they also recite salawat upon the Prophet. They go to gatherings like this, and they have special munshidun. Do we have any munshids among us? Any people with good voices who are familiar with this qasida? Yeah? Why don't you come here? Let's have the munshidun over here. Bismillah.
There we go.
Anyone else? Any brave soul would be a munshid? No? All right. I'm going to try my best. My voice isn't great. I'll try my best. Bismillah. Qamarun. As you say it, imagine the beauty of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Full moon. Imagine you're standing before him and his face is effulgent with light like a full moon. Qamarun. Qamarun. قمر سيدنا النبي قمر وجميل 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 سيدنا النبي وجميل قمر 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 سيدنا النبي قمر وجميل وجميل سيدنا النبي وجميل. I'm going to do a bit of sharh of the next couple of lines before we sing it together, inshallah. وكف المصطفى كالورد نادي. The kaf is the hand, the palm of the hand. And the poet says, the hand of al-Mustafa, the chosen one, kal-ward is like a rose, nadi, moist. Now, I want you to imagine you go and you meet your friend and you shake their hand and they've just come back from playing football and the hand is sweaty. You shake the hand, all the sweat comes over to your hand. How do you feel? Yuck. Do you feel good about this? No. It's not a nice experience. But when you shake the hand of Rasulullah SAW and the moistness of his hand passes on to your hand, it's like the moistness when you touch a rose petal. How does that feel? When you touch a moist rose petal, it feels good. Can you see the imagery the poet is trying to bring about? Yeah? So you're shaking his hand, and like a rose petal, his hand passes on this gentle, sweet-smelling perfume onto your hand. وَعِطْرُهَا يَبْقَى إِذَا مَسَّتْ أَيَادِي. And this moistness, the perfume of this moistness, because Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was special. Allah, yes, he was a man. He was a flesh and blood man. He was Bashar. But then there are men, and then there are men. Not all flesh and blood men are equal. They're not all created the same. How many of us, when we were children, had our chest opened up by the angels and washed and cleaned and put back? No. None of us have had that physical experience. You see? Now, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a very special human being. It's a bit like if you take charcoal. Anybody been to a barbecue? Yeah, a lump of charcoal. You think it's worthless. What is it made of? Carbon. It's a rock made of carbon. Take a diamond. What is it made of?
Carbon.
It's a rock made of carbon. Are the two the same? No. Okay, so when we say, I'm a man and he's a man, we're not doing justice. Maybe I'm a charcoal and he's a diamond. You see? May Allah make us all diamonds. Ameen. Ameen. So, وَعِطْرُهَا يَبْقَى إِذَا مَسَّتْ أَيَادِي. And its perfume stays. It remains on your hand when you shake his hand. So what the poet is trying to do is he's using this psycho-spiritual technique of getting us to imagine that we are shaking the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then using that metaphor of his hand, there's an extended metaphor now in this poem. He says, وَعَمَّ نَوَالُهَا كُلَّ الْعِبَادِ. And the Prophet ﷺ's generosity, his giving, nawal means to give. You know when we eat, in Bangla we say, ek nala. One bit of food you take with your hand, we call it a nala. This comes from the Arabic. Because in Arabic, tanawala means to eat. And nawala means to feed someone else. Yeah? So if I say, nawaltuka, that means I fed you with my hand. And so he's giving this imagery of the Prophet ﷺ being like a father. Because a person who teaches you knowledge, your teacher has the role of a parent, of a father who's not giving you birth or life, but giving you spiritual life through the imparting of knowledge. And the greatest teacher, the muallim, is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when he's giving to us, he's feeding us. He's feeding our spirits and our souls. And that generosity encompasses all servants of Allah. Nobody is left out. Nobody goes empty-handed. وَعَمَّ نَوَالُهَا كُلَّ الْعِبَادِ حَبِيبُ اللَّهِ, the beloved of Allah, يَا خَيْرَ الْبَرَايَا, O best of creation. Alright, so we're going to go back now. We're going to do the chorus, and then we're going to go into the verse. Let's do this again.
قَمَرٌ 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 سِنَّ النَّبِيِّ قَمَرٌ وَجَمِيلٌ وَجَمِيلٌ وجميل سنن النبي وجميل وكف المصطفى كالورد النادي الله الله وعطرها يبقى إذا مست أيادي الله الله وكف المصطفى كالورد نادي الله الله وعطرها يبقى إذا مست أيادي الله الله وعلم نوالها كل العباد حبيب الله يا خير البرايا قمر سيدنا النبي قمر وجميل سيدنا النبي وجميل.
Okay, we're going to do the same one now, but with a different tune and a different chorus. I'm going to add an extra verse, inshallah. All right, where's Brother Jamal? MashaAllah. So Jamil means beautiful. Jamal means beauty. It's the noun. So now we're going to focus on the noun, Jamal.
Ah, ya Jamalu, ya Jamalu. Sayyidina Nabi, ya Jamalu. Ah, ya Jamalu, ya Jamalu. سيدنا النبي يا جمال آه يا جمال يا جمال سيدنا النبي يا جمال وكف المصطفى كالورد نادي الله الله وعطرها يبقى إذا مست يدي الله الله وكف المصطفى كالورد نادي
الله الله
عطرها يبقى إذا مست يدي
الله الله
وعم نوالها كل العباد حبيب الله يا خير البرايا آه يا جمال يا جمال سيدنا النبي يا جمال آه يا جمال يا جمال سيدنا النبي يا جمال
وأجمل منك لم تر قط عين الله الله وأطيب منك لم تلد النساء الله الله. Let me do some sharp. Poet is now saying, no woman has, no eye has ever seen anyone more beautiful than you. وأجمل منك, أجمل means more beautiful. منك لم تر قط عين. Eye has ever seen anyone more beautiful than you. وَأَطْيَبُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ and better than you, with more طيب than you. خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ you have been created free of any defect or blemish. You have been created perfect. إِنسَانٌ كَامِلٌ perfect man. كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ it's as though you chose how to be created. You know, if any of us had the choice, if we had the choice to pick and choose, this nose, this eye, these lips, this hair, these hands, if imagine we could choose, you know, we'd choose the best features, wouldn't we? Yeah? We'd make ourselves beautiful. It's as though you have chosen how to be created. You've been created as though, as you would like. All right, let's do this again. Bismillah. We're going to do the chorus and then the two verses and then we'll end, inshallah.
Ah, ya Jamalu, ya Jamalu. Sayyidina Nabi, ya Jamalu. Ah, ya Jamalu, ya Jamalu. سيدنا النبي يا جمال وكف المصطفى كالورد نادي الله الله وعطرها يبقى إذا مست يدي الله الله وكف المصطفى كالورد نادي الله الله وعطرها يبقى إذا مست يدي الله الله وعم نوالها كل العباد الله الله حبيب الله يا خير البرايا آه يا جمال يا جمال سيدنا النبي يا جمال آه يا جمال يا جمال سيدنا النبي يا جمال وأجمل منك لم تر قط عين الله الله وأطيب منك لم تلد النساء الله الله وأجمل منك لم تر قط عين الله الله وأطيب منك لم تلد النساء
الله الله
خلقت من كل عيب
الله الله
كأنك قد خلقت كما تشاء يا جمال آه يا جمال يا جمال سيدنا النبي يا جمال آه يا جمال يا جمال سيدنا النبي يا جمال اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد 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 جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد في الأولين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد في الآخرين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد في الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعل في قلوبنا حب من تحب اللهم اجعل في قلوبنا اللهم زد حبنا لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم زدنا حبنا لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم زدنا حبنا لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم زدنا علما في حياته يا رب العالمين اللهم ارزقنا أن نعرفك وأن نحب رسولك يا رب العالمين اللهم زدنا أن نكون ممن يحبك ويحب رسولك يا رب العالمين بفضل سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وإياكم
spiritual session. Allah bless you with a lot of love from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much spiritual nourishment I got.